This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
That'll wake you up. That's the Beatles, of course. My goodness. Well, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Hey, thank you for joining us here. It is Friday, May the 21st already. Wow. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Veronique Darugi of the Mercatus Center. That's over at George Mason University. And we're going to talk about the child tax credits in President Biden's American Family Plan. Is that a good or a bad idea? Methinks she's going to say it's a bad idea, but we will talk with her about it. And have you noticed that the Democratic Party, long a supporter of Israel, has done an about-face? Now it's the Republican Party the Jewish people look up to. Have you noticed that? We're going to take a look at this and talk with our buddy from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, about this change and what is going on. And even some Democrats are standing in the way of Joe Biden's plan to raise capital gains taxes on people. He wants to double it to about 39.6%, close to 40%. So we'll take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, we did the top 10 greatest movie sidekicks on Tuesday. We're going to do the top 10 greatest TV sitcom sidekicks and see if Big Ed knows who's number one. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best hair cutter in Tampa Bay for my money. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Got to check with Andrew, Ed. I think you could probably walk in now and get your hair cut without having to make a phone call. So we'll check with Andrew when we talk with him about whether or not you still have to call for your appointment. But great haircut at a great price. And they're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Saturdays. Also, I got to plug Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. They're great people. They do a wonderful show, Paul and Tracy Allen. I hope you don't miss them because they're on here on the Tan Talk Radio Network, Monday through Friday. All right. Well, Biden wants to raise taxes, it seems like, on just about everybody. He claims he's not going to raise it on the middle class, but we know better. Right now, the middle class is the one that is suffering the most when it comes to pump prices. They cannot afford it as much as the wealthy, can they? What are we at now? Over $3 a gallon, close to $4 a gallon, maybe, across the country? The Biden administration's push to dramatically increase tax rates on your inherited wealth is running into trouble even from Democrats on Capitol Hill. It's to pay for the American Families Plan, which, by the way, we're going to talk about with Veronique in a few minutes. To pay for that, it's a $1.8 trillion measure. President Biden has called for nearly doubling the capital gains tax to 39.6%. It's currently at 20%. He also wants to restore the top individual income tax rate to the same thing, 39.6%. Well, you know that people will duck that. and they'll move their money offshore, and they'll do all kinds of things. But they're going to stifle passing along their capital gains. They will slow down on doing that. When they slow down on doing that, the government gets less money. Under current law, when heirs inherit an asset that has gone up in value, they get what's called a step-up, meaning they receive the holding at its current market value. And then the beneficiary can sell those assets and pay capital gains taxes based only on the time that they received the asset and the time they sold it. That allows them to reduce their tax penalty. Well, Biden wants to close that loophole, and his own party is against it, where a lot of them are. Instead of hitting people with a substantial tax hike when they inherit, the House Ways and Means Chairman, Richard Neal, says the beneficiaries will defer paying and hang on to the thing. So, you know, when you try to raise taxes on people, especially those that know what to do with money, they'll figure out a way to hide it. By the way, guess who's been hiding some of her money to avoid paying these kinds of penalties? Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. Don't know if we have a story on that, but Biden said that nobody in his administration will take advantage of some of the tax loopholes he's trying to close, or he would call them out on it. Well, Kamala is doing such. She is not being called out on it, which is not a good thing, in my opinion. Also, you know, abortion is now going to go before the court again in the situation involving a Mississippi law on what number of weeks are needed before you can no longer, I would say, commit an abortion, have an abortion. Well, Jen Psaki, she's the White House press secretary, she's denouncing a new abortion law in Texas, which limits abortions. She calls it an assault on women's rights. She says this is the most restrictive measure yet in the nation. She called it an assault on women's fundamental rights under Roe versus Wade. Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill Wednesday. It would ban abortions after you can detect a fetal heartbeat. In other words, Jen Psaki wants to kill an alive human being in the womb because we know it's got a beating heart. But that's okay with them. That's okay with them. They want to allow you to kill your unborn child up to the moment of conception, do they not? I always love it when taking a human life is considered a woman's right. The pro-choice people, a woman's right to choose. It's a woman's right to basically kill her own child that is going to be born if she doesn't. I don't think that's such a good idea. Anyway, Texas joins six other states in banning abortion after 6 weeks. Federal courts have mostly blocked these measures from taking effect. There's a little difference in the Texas law. It prohibits state officials from enforcing the ban, but allows anybody to sue an abortion provider or anyone else who may have helped get somebody an abortion. So that's a rather strange situation. I'm not sure that's going to hold up in a court. But the law is set to take effect on September the 1st. So there you go. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, we will be talking with Veronique Deruggy about child tax credits in the Biden American Family Plan.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Delighted to have you with us. Well, the American Family Plan sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? It includes a measure that would allow about 39 million families to receive monthly child payments beginning July the 15th. The qualified families, they'd get up to $300 a month for each child under the age of six, up to $250 per month for kids between the age of six and 17. Nothing like having the government send you money for children. Nothing like it. Well, we wonder whether or not that is a good idea, and we've got back our good friend Veronique DeRugi from the Mercatus Center at George Mason University to tell us a little bit about it. Veronique, welcome back. Is the Biden idea a good one?
I wouldn't say so, unless you believe that handing out money to people without any string attached, basically going back to the pre-welfare reform of the 1990s, is a good idea. I mean, if you want to create, this is the perfect way, basically, to create disincentive to work, disincentive to marry, create a lot of distortions. I mean, I'm not even talking about the budget cost of all of this. And all of this is wrapped into a bow that says it's anti-poverty, though part of the money. So let me finish that thought. That part of the money actually phases out for some families who make $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not at all poverty. But there's also another thing that is new, apart from, you know, that tax credit used to exist, and you used to basically claim it once a year when you file your taxes, and a piece of it used to be refundable, meaning that if you don't have any tax liability because you don't make enough money, then the government sends you money. And here in this case, the entirety of the tax credit, which goes up to $3,600 a year per child if they're under six, and $3,000 per child from six to 17, this entire amount is refundable if you don't have a tax liability. So it's a fair amount of money, and it could involve some pretty big disincentive to work for some people.
I would think so. And you point out that if the administration really wanted to address the cost of raising kids, remove the regulatory barriers that make the cost of child care that much higher than it should be. You know, these regulations that they impose driving people, you know, up a wall.
Yes. So the government has a tendency to always think that basically the way to get people out of poverty is to give them money. And of course it's not. I mean, income mobility is the way out of poverty. Income mobility gets from going to work and acquiring some skills and then getting to the next step of your career where you make somewhat more money. And so just kind of having you stuck at a level of income which you get from either working a little bit, but also getting money from the government and never really moving from there, because the disincentive to get a better job and losing that money exists is really not the way to go. But the thing is, like, even if this was the way to go, it's also counterproductive to do it in the current environment where there's so many barriers to raising children in terms of cost, but in terms of also effectiveness. For instance, if we had school choice, instead of having lower-income kids stuck in terrible public schools, right, mm-hmm. The parents could actually have a choice that fits their educational needs and their children's needs better. If we got rid of all the occupational licensing requirements for childcare providers, which make the cost of having someone else watch your kids when you go make a living, you would really help families. If you actually removed a lot of the disincentive to work and save that exists in the tax code, that too would help families. And in fact, I'll finish by saying that the best way to help families and to help kids is economic growth. And what we're having here is really the opposite, because what we saw in the 90s is when you have a system that creates all these disincentives to work, basically what you get is a lot of long-term poverty, and especially for children who live in households where people are poor.
Yeah.
And it's and a lot of unwed birth. So it's like this is going in the wrong direction.
Right. We're talking with Veronique DeRugi, who is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center, which is a part of George Mason University. And we're talking about that part of the American Rescue Plan that would make payments to families with children. $300 a month under six, up to $250 per month between the age of 6 and 17. Veronique, I've always, you know, to me, I don't even think it's constitutional. Of course, we've gone long past looking at what's constitutional with the federal government doling out money to people. It's like an intrusion into the private sector, you know. We're going to send you this kind of money if you're not at work, or we're going to send you this kind of money if you got five kids. I don't see where the federal government's responsibility lies anywhere in providing income to people one way or the other. That's not their job. You know, there's basic things the federal government's supposed to do, protect our borders and, you know, our defense, coin our money, establish a federal court system. Other than that, I just don't know why we can't sue the government for all of this, but I guess we're way past any of that, right?
Yes. Well, you're entirely right that this is absolutely not the role of the federal government. And I don't know. I mean, there may be some recourse in court, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah. I know. It's, everybody's playing the game. Republicans as well as Democrats are playing the game. It's just a matter of how much we're going to hand out, you know?
Well, the problem also is a cultural one, right? When
yes.
you start actually giving money to everyone, including higher-income people, then you create an implicit, like a widespread support for the program.
Yes.
This is why Social Security, which used to be, which came about because it's true that in the 1930s, when people were poor, stopped working because they were old, they were poor. We didn't have the stock market, the capital market that we have that allowed people to save money their whole life and grow their assets. Now seniors are overrepresented in the top income quintile, and we should have a system that is based on needs, not on age. And yet the support for Social Security is enormous. It's, even though it's a terrible return on our tax dollars, I mean, and so this is what they're doing too with these programs: is they're making the base and 90% of families are going to be receiving some of this.
I often wonder what they're not dumb. These people that create these programs, doling out money like this? You know, unemployment checks on top of state unemployment checks. You get a federal unemployment check. Increasing the likelihood you will stay at home rather than find a job or go back to work. They're not dumb. They know ultimately what this leads to, like you said. And it leads to an abdication of responsibility. It leads to, in the long run, it leads to all kinds of economic disaster for our country. So if they know that, why are they doing it? I mean, that's, to me, is the real question. Why do people why do people in Washington continue to do that? Because they want the short-term gain of getting votes?
I do think that some of them obviously think it's going to be good.
Are they that dumb?
I do think they're trying to fulfill, for the Democrats at the very least, they're trying to fulfill an ideal, and that's basically having the government being in our life from cradle to grave.
But they must know that creates dependency and doesn't help the individual. They must know that our country was founded on individual responsibility and freedom, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't know that they care.
Well, that's it. Why don't they care? See, that's it. I'm just trying to get to the root of it. It's really weird to me.
But, you know, I mean, it's weird to me, too. But it's also worth mentioning, by the way, that some Republicans are in favor of this.
Yes, they are. I'm not tarring just Democrats with this. They're all spending money over their heads.
You were saying, like, you know, people in Washington. So they have different reasons. I think the Democrats, they kind of tell themselves that this is anti-poverty. And maybe they tell themselves that the way to go about it is to get the stuff for poor people, is to actually give it to everyone. For Republicans, conservatives, really, really, well, on one hand, they claim that they believe in the market, they believe in small government. They also really believe in the government redistributing stuff or things that they like. And the family is high on their list. Look, I mean, before this is building on a tax credit, which is social engineering through the tax code, that Senator Lee and Rubio insisted during the tax reform debate of 2017 to... they insisted that it be not $1,500, I think it was, but $2,000. These are two conservative, and one of them who really usually is a solid free market advocate. And they did it at the expense of, and they wanted it to be paid by a higher rate in the corporate income tax. I think people in Washington, and a lot of people, are not consistent. They claim to believe in markets. They claim to believe in small government, except for the stuff that they like.
That's right.
And this is, but I think they come at it from very different perspective. I mean, the Democrats want people dependent on government, and I don't think they think it's because they're not going to work. I think they truly. Frédéric Bastiat, the French economist, used to say that a good policymaker understand that the first effect of a policy is not the only thing that matters. You have to look at the secondary effect or the third effect, right? Otherwise, and I think a lot of these guys, they only look at the first thing. Oh, we're giving money to people.
But we've seen what happens in other countries that run everything through their federal governments, doling out money. Socialism it brings down cultures and countries. We've seen that.
But Bernie Sanders has made a whole campaign in turning us into Denmark, not kind of realizing that it's not even possible. Denmark is a teeny bitty country, very homogeneous, and also it hasn't worked that great for Denmark. And Denmark is in some ways, in some areas, like more free market than the U.S. is.
Oh, they are. They're mostly capitalistic in Denmark also.
No, I mean, they have a huge welfare state, but they have reformed dramatically. The Nordic countries have reformed dramatically in the 70s and the 80s precisely because they were going in the wall.
Correct.
And so So I just, you know, people are very, and I would urge your listeners to try to check, you know, to try to see where they are inconsistent in their beliefs. And we all are, and it's okay because, you know, for us, because we don't have the power of the purse that Congress have. We don't have the power that those in politics have. And but it's quite discouraging to hear politicians say, especially in my opinion, the conservatives, saying that they believe in markets, they believe in small governments, and then advocate for things that are everything but markets and small governments.
So I guess this thing that is set to take place, this this payout to families with children, is set to take place July 15th. So there's nothing that can stop that. This is just like
So that was part of the latest COVID relief plan. The $1.9 billion. I can't remember what it was called that passed in January.
Yeah.
So the Democrats and some of the Republicans want to make that permanent. And so there's no way at this point that Biden is going to be able to push his entire infrastructure bill like this, there's no way that he's going to have any big package like he's had with everything he wants. But the question is going to be whether they can pass this extension, because he wants it extended to 20, because right now I think it expires at the end of 2022 or something like this.
And I see.
But he wants it extended until 20. And by the way, notice that they make sure that it ended at like before the after the midterm. Right.
So
there's the political aspect.
There it
is. It extended to 2025, and so your listeners should call their representative. If they don't want this,
that's the best thing to do. Let them know. You're exactly right, Veronique DeRugge. Thank you so very much. It's a real pleasure to have you on again, and I know we'll be talking with you again down the road.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, the Democratic Party used to be the party that supported Israel. Well, they've done an about face. It's not the Republicans that are kind of protecting them. We'll talk a little bit about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Potion number 9.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's your last chance to experience the Bay Area Renaissance Festival this season. Set sail for adventure. Check out our new location. Full contact, live armor jousting. Axe throw. Meet the lovely mermaids. Visit BayAreaRenFest.com. Experience a high seas adventure. Show off your best ink in the tattoo competition. Win the pirate costume contest. Or visit the mermaids. Last two weekends. Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at BayAreaRenFest.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, we are here for your dining and dancing pleasure, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. If you cannot listen live because you're busy, you're at work or something, you can listen to us on podcast because Big Ed, bless his heart, puts our shows on podcast. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Look at the top of the page. There's the word podcast. Click on it. You'll see who the guest is and our top 10. Hey, you can play the show over and over and over again. And by the way, it's a great cure for insomnia as well. Well, I see that there's a bit of anti-Semitism going on all of a sudden across the country. New York, Israel, and pro-Palestinian protesters clashing in Midtown Manhattan. New Jersey, pro-Palestinian demonstrator confronting a Jewish family on their way home from synagogue. California, vehicles in the Beverly Grove restaurant parking lot singling out, attacking Jewish diners in a violent brawl. Illinois, synagogue in Skokie, Illinois, vandalized. So, you know, the Democratic Party used to be kind of the protector of Israel. But no longer. They've gone further and further, kind of pro-Palestinian, I guess you might say. And all of a sudden, we've got the Republican Party, which is more of a protectorate, you might say, of Jewish people and Israel. Andrew, do you notice that change?
Well, it's remarkable what's going on. You would think this is the 30s again in Nazi Germany.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know where this is coming from. And it's not only our country, it's the whole world.
It is the whole world. Well, there's always been a dislike of the Jewish, I don't know, because they work hard, make a lot of money. They're involved in the banking industries. You know, they're involved in the money industries. I think there's always been this jealousy of Jewish people that can be clannish a little bit. And it's always been tough for them. It's really an interesting phenomenon, don't you think?
It's disgusting, Paul. It really is. I mean, you know, you got Black Lives Matter trying to, the blacks are all discriminated. I think the Jewish people, what they're going through is now is terrible compared to what the blacks are going through. They should be out there saying Jews' lives matters.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, you're right. I mean, we're going through the gamut here. We've got the Black Lives Matter. Then we've got the Asian lives situation. You know what I mean? We've gone through that phase. Now, are we going to go through a Jewish Lives Matter kind of thing? Probably not, because they tend to be more associated with, let's be honest, with capitalism and with maybe with the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous, Paul, what's going on. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you a story that happened, and I don't know what you're going to think of this, but do you know how during the morning show they had the douchebag of the day?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you a story. I have an 82-year-old friend that worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He would drive cars here and there wherever they needed them, you know?
Yeah.
Now, this guy is 82 years old. He's a veteran. Okay? He beat cancer 3 times. He had tongue cancer.
Oh, boy.
That moved to his right lung and his left lung.
Mm.
Now, this gentleman has not been able to eat for 8 years. He can't swallow.
Oh, my.
So he eats through a feeding tube. Okay? Now, yet he had this part-time job. Never late, always worried. He did a great job.
Wow.
Well, the other day, somebody was asking him, how did you end up, you know, getting the tongue cancer? And he told him the HPV virus, which was the same thing Michael Douglas had, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about it openly. And,
You mean the HIV virus, or you said HPV virus?
HPV virus.
HPV, okay.
Human papillary virus.
Okay, I'm sorry, okay.
It's something that's carried around, and men, if they have oral sex, can get tongue cancer. Women get cervical cancer from this, and his spread all over his body.
Okay.
Well, one of his coworkers asked him, how did you get, you know, the virus? And he told him it was from oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this employee got offended, went to his boss, and they fired this man for telling him?
You're kidding.
That strike me dead. I cannot believe, Paul, I've had about 8 men come in my barber shop in the last 2 years that have had this problem.
Wow.
Got the tongue cancer. It's amazing that, you know, how
well, we need to be more public about it so that people understand it and
I cannot
avoid it.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I mean, what is
I don't know.
Company that they can't take the word that he got his cancer from oral. He's educating the people of what happened.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it, but it sounds horrible. I'd like to hear more about why they would fire somebody for talking about it. Do they think that somehow you shouldn't? I mean, you got to talk about things that affect your health.
But Michael Douglas talked about it.
Yes, he did.
Openly on television.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And here you had a star that had it, and he talked about it. It was no big deal. Here's a man that was working part-time, 82 years old, that beat three different cancers, and they fire him for talking about it.
That's terrible. I got to ask you before I forget. When people want to come get a haircut at your place, do they need to make the phone call still?
Paul, you know, Candy started it now. It's strictly appointments, Paul.
It is appointments. Okay. So yeah, we're going to keep pushing the phone number. Yeah. Well, I mean,
it was like the way it worked because there wasn't five people waiting ahead to get haircuts, you know, and it worked out great. So the boss, Candy, you know, she decided to change the rules.
She wears the pants in the family now, doesn't she?
She overpowered me. I don't know what I'm going to do.
By the way, when you want to get a haircut there, and they are the best, I'm telling you. 727-733-3773. Your hours, by the way, are Tuesday through Saturday, right? And it's still, is it still Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2?
It's now 9 to 5. The boss changed it.
Oh, let me make a note. I'm telling everybody it's 8:30, 9 to 5.
It's true, 9 to 5. I'm there all the time at 8:30, but...
But it's
her
technically
hours life. Are 9 to 5, she says, and that's it. And appointments.
And Saturday, what is it? 9 to 2?
9 to 2.
Okay. Now I want to ask you about this. It seems like the more data we're able to kind of get, the more we now can believe that the Wuhan lab is where this COVID-19 really did come from. House Intelligence Republicans say they got significant evidence that the virus originated in the lab. But the White House press secretary, your buddy Jen Psaki, refuses to say whether the White House has seen that evidence.
They've seen it, Paul.
I know they have. She did not answer the question. She was asked, has the White House seen any circumstantial evidence that it did not originate in the lab? And she did not answer directly, but said, we need to have transparency. Well, come on. I think everybody now, really, with any kind of thought, thinks that it came out of a lab.
Trump was right from the beginning, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And he called it what it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, listen.
But I'm not sure that it was intentional. I don't want to say that. I do want to say that I think it leaked.
I wouldn't say that either, to be honest. I mean, who knows?
Exactly.
But it did come from there.
Exactly. It did. It didn't come from some market 2 miles away. How are they?
The bats.
Yeah, right. And just coincidentally, it's 2 miles away from the lab. Uh-huh. I don't think so.
No. They know about it, Paul. They know about everything that's going on. They're just stupid to everything that's going on. The whole administration.
I think since Kamala Harris is not going to visit the southern border, can we send her to Wuhan? And
that'd be good.
And we'll send her to the dog markets over there.
What do you think about the 37 Republicans that went along with the Democrats for the January 6th, they want to have another investigation. What is wrong with these
people? I know. No, they're beating a dead. First of all, they're beating a dead horse. Look, the Democrats need to have something. They need a straw man to take everybody's sight and mind off all the things that are going wrong under the Biden administration. That's why.
I'll tell you what's coming up, Paul. I'm going to tell you right now what's coming up. Have you noticed on the television? Everything is about UFOs now.
Yeah.
Releasing information about UFOs.
Yeah, you're right.
Sightings of UFOs. I got news for you what's going to happen, Paul.
What?
There's going to be a UFO coming in to distract everything.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Paul, all of a sudden, the government's releasing information, all these secret paperwork. Now, come on.
Yeah, the timing. I know what you mean. Yeah, the timing of this.
That's my words. The War of the Worlds is coming.
Okay, let me ask you, as long as you bring that up, you've seen those rather blurry images, right? Black and white blurry images of those little white things floating around out there or dark things. Do you buy into that?
Well, Paul, listen, I got to look at it like this. We're one planet and one universe with life on it. There's so many different universes, so many different galaxies. I believe there's got to be life on other planets.
I think so too. Yeah. You know, the question is whether they can get here
as we know it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's got to be life somewhere. There's just no way that we're just the only one in the whole universe.
So, well, first of all, we don't even know if these things we're seeing on the screen or these pilots are seeing are otherworldly. Maybe they're coming from China or maybe Russia. I mean,
you don't know.
We don't know, do we?
All I can tell you is the government is releasing information about it. And it's telling me, you know, we had the killer wasps or whatever they were.
We've had killer everything.
Yeah, I mean, every time you turn around, there's a distraction. I'm telling you what, they're priming us for a UFO coming.
Yeah, maybe you're
right.
They're
going to distract everything that's going on. You watch it. Look at the Democrats and the Republicans. They're so afraid of that audit in Arizona. The Republicans, too, the rhinos. What are you afraid of?
Yeah. Very weird. Well, my friend, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks so much.
You got it, Paul. Have a good day.
All right. There you go. By the way, I forgot to tell you, Ed. I don't need to tell you. I think he's making an appearance on The Voice of Reason next week, isn't he? I'm a little bit jealous of that. He's becoming a big celebrity, making all the other shows. What's going on with that? What's he going to do when you're going to talk to those guys and try to set them straight or what?
Actually, Ed will be out of town, so it'll just be Joe Reinhardt and him.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to call in about 10:30. I just talked to him, and just for, you know, like a segment like you just did right here.
Okay.
Yeah. I guarantee the border will not be discussed. Unless Andrew brings it up.
Andrew may bring it up.
I keep waiting every week.
I wonder what they'll talk about. That'll be interesting.
We tell everything from electric cars, not about borders, anything like that.
I'll have to tune in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let us take our final break. When we come back, among other things, I want to talk to Ed about whether the Lightning are going to hold on in their series with the Florida Panthers and the top 10 greatest TV sitcoms. Sidekicks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment. Final segment. Then you may leave. But stay with us for the final segment. So, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy are aligning themselves together in opposition to that January 6th commission. You know, the one that's supposed to look into... why are we beating a dead horse on this? A bunch of people stormed the White House. When they got inside, they went wandering around, opening doors. Some of them did some vandalism, and they're all being prosecuted, right? Why are we trying to... It's not really... I don't think it's what you would call... It's not like we were trying to take control of our government. It's not like they were going in, hey, where is Chuck Schumer? Well, I get my hands on him, I'm going to hold him for ransom. You know?
What are they calling it, though? The Capitol, what... Well, everything from the Capitol murders, and then the only one that was murdered was
a woman.
Yeah.
There was a woman that was shot by one of the Capitol police. You know what?
The insurgents
why did he shoot her? I mean, we don't know.
Yeah,
I,
that's never been discussed.
No, you know? The liberals don't want you to talk about that.
Unarmed, by the way.
She was unarmed. I saw a picture of her. It looked like she was just... Now, she looked like she might have wandered in after the break-in. You know, she just kind of came in with the group. And she gets shot?
Well, there's been some discussion that... Well, when you talk about destruction and stuff, that there was some feces left behind and stuff like that.
It's terrible they did. I'm not...
Sure, but it's nothing compared to a Black Lives Matter riot. Are you kidding? How many stores were burned?
Correct.
How many cars were burned?
Yeah. How many people were hurt?
Right.
No, there's no comparison. So anyway, McConnell and McCarthy are opposing this thing. And even some of the more moderate Republicans who voted to convict Trump, you know, on the impeachment thing for citing an insurrection, have expressed doubts about the legislation. Chief among their concerns, Democratic members of the commission will be able to unilaterally, that means by themselves, appoint the commission staff. Well, that doesn't sound bipartisan to me.
Well, you said it right there, Paul, I mean, there's one thing that keeps coming up, one name, and it's Trump. And I believe there is a group, and this is maybe we can get Dr. Fauci to figure out if this is an actual disease or what, but it's called Trumpophobia.
Yeah.
And they're so afraid that the man's going to get back in office that they got to keep his name in the news when you talk about bad and bad things for the country. We're going to associate with Trump. To keep him out of office. One lawmaker came out and said, well, they asked, what is the end game on this? The end game is that we would like to make sure that Donald Trump never runs for office again. That's right. Their end game.
And at the same time, they use the Trump name because, first of all, they can collect funds if they send out mailers. You know, we've got to stop Donald Trump from coming back. I mean, they want the name. They want Trump to be around, because they're going to use him, excuse me, as a punching bag. Anyway, before we get to the top 10, Ed, I watched a very, very exciting hockey game last night that went back and forth. And it was game three of the series between our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. It was here in Tampa. And the Lightning lost... kind of a letdown there, but what did you think of the game?
Well, I didn't think they were going to sweep. And some things led up to last night. You know, down in Miami, they'd opened up their arena to 50% capacity at 9,000. And going into Tuesday when we had talked that the Lightning were going to hold steady and hold fast, that they were still going to do their 37%, which was 7,000 people.
It looked more than that to me.
And then I don't know whether they were listening to the show or what, but the Lightning decided, hey, well, if they're going to go to 9,000, we'll go to 9,000.
Good.
So they were at 9,500 last night.
Oh, they were.
But I can bet you this, that
good.
This is going to go back to sunrise on, let's see, it's Saturday, Monday. I guarantee you they will open that building up 100%.
Think because, so?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And listen, I didn't think the Lightning were going to sweep.
No.
They got a little complacent.
Yeah.
They scored 5 goals in the second period.
They did.
You know?
The total number.
Yeah.
The Lightning scored 3. They were down 2-0 going into the second period.
And listen, the Lightning comes out into the overtime with a power play, and they don't convert. They got
Not the overtime, the third period.
The overtime, they had the power play. Remember, because it was the end of the third.
Overtime.
Yeah, so when they came into the overtime,
I'm getting confused, and they did not
convert that. And I think, I don't think that's going to happen again. I think that they will win probably the next two. So we got one more Saturday. That'll be at 12:30.
Okay.
And then they'll be back at sunrise.
So the Lightning need to win 2 more games.
Yeah, it's the.
Yeah. But, you know, it is an exciting series. And you got to hand the Panthers to come back like they did. A little bit.
I mean, it's more fights. Once in a while, they play hockey.
Yeah. Although it's not as many fights. It looks like they're restraining themselves a little bit. Anyway, very interesting matchup. All right. This is fun. This comes from Screen Rant. I like the name Screen Rant, by the way. The top 10 greatest TV sitcom sidekicks, right? Situation comedy sidekicks. And I want to see if you know who's number one. But here we go. Number 10. Gary Walsh from Veep. Have you seen that one?
No.
2010's political satire, Veep. Gary Walsh, who was played by Tony Hale, obsessive over helping Selina Meyer, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, on different things. Okay, number 9. Home Improvement, Al Borland. You ever watch Home Improvement?
Al Borland.
You like him?
Yep.
Yeah. He would say, I don't think so, Tim. In the 1990s sitcom Home Improvement, Tim Taylor, played by Tim Aller, who wasn't really very good at doing all of that stuff.
Right? I don't think so, Tim.
Number 8.
My favorite one was when he introduced him, and he would always give him these different names. And he'd say, I want to introduce my sidekick, and Al would go, howdy, and he'd go, duty.
Very cute. Number 8, Ralphie Boy. Who do you think? Ed Norton.
Oh, okay, yeah.
From The Honeymooners, the 1950s sitcom The Honeymooners. Ralph Crandom, played by Jackie Gleason. And, of course, Ed Norton, played by Art Carney. You ever watch any of those?
Ed? Barely. Maybe one or two.
He'd go, hey, Ralphie Boy.
Right.
All right, number 7. Dwight Schrute, I think it is, The Office. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I never saw that series, no.
Everyone has probably worked with somebody like Dwight Schrute, played by Rainn Wilson in The Office. He's a dedicated worker who thinks he's better at his job than other people. Okay, number 6. Rhoda Morgenstern. Mary Tyler Moore Show. Remember Rhoda?
Yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore might have been the star, but she was fortunate to be surrounded by a strong ensemble, including...
I think she even got her own show as a spinoff
She did. You're right. Number 5. Sean Hunter, Boy Meets World. Don't know it. Do you?
No.
Okay. Boy Meets World. Sean Hunter, Ryder Strong, is the actor. More than just a best friend to Corey Matthews, played by Ben Savage. He's his brother. He's family. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Number 4. Move along here. George Costanza, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
We all know good old George.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that show.
You're not?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I just didn't find it funny.
Yeah. Okay. Number 3.
Fonz?
Yes. Very good. Fonzie on Happy Days. Arthur Fonzie Fonzarelli, played by Henry Winkler on Happy Days. Richie Cunningham, who starred in the show, played by Ron Howard. How can you ever forget that one, right? Number 2, Barney Fife. The Andy Griffith Show, we all love Barney Fife. He got a bullet. Remember, he could only have one bullet?
Yeah.
No other,
right?
No more in his thing. All right. Who do you think is number 1?
I was thinking it's maybe like Archie Bunker have Eat It.
Go back further into it.
Wow.
Go back and... You wouldn't remember them live, but remember them by hearing about her and her.
I don't know.
All right. Here we go. Ethel Mertz, I Love Lucy.
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Lucy Ricardo was played by Lucille Ball, and Ethel Mertz was played by Vivian Vance. Actually, William Frawley, who played Ethel Mertz's husband, was also a big one for that, and Desi Arnaz. Anyway, I Love Lucy. There you go. Thank you so very much for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.